This is Isaac of Nineveh with another edition of Hot Wind from the Desert. And today I just want to discuss something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the convergence movement, or the convergence of streams. For those of you who don't really have any idea about what this is all about, convergence is the idea that there is fullness of Christian worship in a blending of all the different streams of the liturgical, of the Holy Spirit, and of the evangelical. So you could look at it like a high church, low church, free church, all mixed together. But one of the things that characterizes the convergence communion is its emphasis upon the Eucharist, baptism, and apostolic succession. And so I just would like to touch upon these really quick. I think I might spend some more podcasts talking about each one of these and where they fit in the Christian life and whatever. But first, I'd like to just touch briefly on the Eucharist. Now, formerly, I used to be a symbolist, that the Eucharist was only a symbol or whatever. That it's an ordinance, we just do it because Jesus told us to do it, period. But once I started getting into more of the charismatic circles and the charismatic stream and having revelations of God and hearing His voice and coming in contact with the prophetic word, and I started to see how the Eucharist, as a guaranteed miracle in every service, which it really is, or as Irenaeus said, the medicine of our immortality, I began to see that this was something that was not just a symbol. And I started to read more about it and read how the early church viewed it. And I became very comfortable with the Eastern Orthodox statement about what the Eucharist is. They say that it's a mystery. You don't really know. But you take it and you eat it and it brings life and it releases the kingdom in you. Probably a way that a lot of us are familiar with these kinds of things is by the Catholic term, means of grace. And there can be many, many, many different means of grace. And especially in classic Pentecostal and charismatic circles, there are lots of means of grace. Like you can have handkerchiefs, you can have prayer cloths, you can have emails that are printed and taken and put in somebody. Even laying on of hands is a means of grace. You're imparting something through the physical laying on of hands. But it seems with the Romophobic tendencies in classic Pentecostalism that has been carried over into a lot of charismatic circles even though a lot of the charismatic movement got a lot of its momentum within the Catholic Church, it seems that they have rejected that this particular thing, the Eucharist, can't have it. Can't have it. Now, there are a lot of really strong and very prominent charismatic leaders who articulate a position on the Eucharist that is very much more akin to the Lutherans or even to the Orthodox than to their evangelical cousins. And so, in the convergence movement, this has become something that is very, very distinct and important. This is the journey that I'm on now, is that this sacrament, this Eucharist, there's a lot more to it than what I formerly realized. So I would encourage you, if you're out there and you're thinking, again, this Isaac of Nineveh guy, he's total crackpot, doesn't know what he's talking about. I can't believe he would abandon the evangelical position on this. I encourage you, read the early church. Think about it. It just makes sense that it's more than just a memory or memorial service. It just makes sense to a good God who is a living God that He is alive and doesn't need a memorial service. What He needs is for us to believe that we can receive from Him in the present, not have to wait until we're dead. The second thing that I mentioned was the sacrament of baptism. Now, that's something I'm not really going to talk about right now, but again, it is viewed as a sacrament, a means of grace. So think of your heart as a bank account. Grace is poured into it, right? The grace of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. But it's been poured into you, and it's done physically because the symbol, just like the Eucharist, is that as a symbol, it's not enough, right? But once you take a symbol or a ritual and you imbue it with the power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes more than a symbol. It becomes transformative. And so It's done. It's a physical act that results in physical transformation, that results in internal transformation at the same time, simultaneously, that results in a change, in changed living. And this is what a sacrament, I think, is kind of teleos, is the point of them, is within the life of the church and the body of the church. And so the table has a very prominent place in this new convergence movement. The other thing that is very important within the convergence movement is the Holy Spirit and His activity. And participating in the gifts, in the service, and not limiting it to just this way or that way or whatever. The other thing that makes this movement distinct is that there is a blending of all these different streams. The Word has a place, the table has a place, and the Spirit, it has a place. And so for my listeners out there who think, you know, there's just not a place that I can get to that is just getting everything. It just seems like I go to this church and there's like, I don't know, it's not really rooted in. And yeah, I go to this one and it's not rooted in either. And once my wife and I were traveling across the country, and we stopped into a place. My wife loves fountain Cokes. She loves them. And we stopped in this one kind of truck stop area, and they had what she called the Shekinah Glory of fountain Cokes. They had like every machine you could possibly think of, every kind of Coke you could think of. It was all there. It was all laid out. You could get it, and you could just fill up to, you know, 5 liters, so that you'd have to make 15 stops the next 15 miles down the road. I would say that place had the fullness of soft drinks. And yet, so many of us keep going back to a church or to a stream that basically you can get Coke or Sprite, and that's it. And after years of doing this, people get disillusioned with God because they're disillusioned with this particular brand of Christianity that they've always known. And the worst thing is that a lot of denominations will actually circumvent you from trying other denominations by trying to get you so ingrained in the subculture that you don't consider other denominations as possibilities. And this is the way that this is a culture that I grew up in, that you really didn't think of other Christians as possibilities. They were brothers or sisters who were out there, or they weren't even considered to be of the faith. They were just out there. And so they weren't possibilities because the local body, the local expression, the denomination, was this idea of membership. So the fluidity of moving in and out of all the different streams was not really a value that was imparted to me or in my life. The last thing that I would like to touch upon is this idea of apostolic succession. And, you know, many churches don't have it, and they don't care, and especially Protestant churches. By apostolic succession, I mean that there is a spiritual practicing of the Scripture in all of its fullness in worship, with the ordination, with the sacrament, particularly baptism and the Lord's Supper, and also this unbroken line of this physicality of the laying on of hands from the apostles. So, as a Protestant many years ago, this made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. Big deal, somebody touched somebody that touched somebody. Who cares, you know? But once you start thinking about it, and once you read the early church, once you consider the claims made by those who are in apostolic tradition, you get a different picture. You get a feeling that this is somehow, it's important. It's necessary. Now, it's not necessary in an exclusivistic kind of thing, like if you don't have it, you're not a church or whatever. I don't want to talk in exclusivistic terms. I'm done with that. I lived in that for so long, and I'm so done with it. Like, by exclusivistic, I mean if you don't have X, then you're not, or if you don't have Y, then you're not, something like this. But what I'd prefer to talk about is levels of health or levels of fullness. And this is common language that you get when you start reading a lot of these convergence writers and even Orthodox or Catholic theologians. It's the expression of faith in its fullness. Now, this is what I'm getting to. Fullness. And richness. I mean, sure, you can have a hamburger, but why have a hamburger when you can have a steak? And I look at it as a positive kind of thing, not as a negative kind of thing. And so in my own life, I feel like it has become an important thing, that the apostolic succession, impartation through apostolic succession is a very necessary and important thing if you want to live to the fullness of the kingdom and within the historical tradition of the church. So if you're out there and you're hearing this and you're thinking, well, this really sounds like something that's up my alley. I really want to affirm the unity of the church in its present condition, and also the unity of the church in its tradition. And I'm not willing to give up the church yet. Like, there's a lot of guys out there who are just willing to say, you know what, the church is just a big institution. People have screwed it up all along. It's nothing. Don't worry about what matters. It's just loving people or whatever. That seems to me like it can be an approach. It seems like there's a ring of truth to it. But then, you know, you just look at the historical church. You look at the circumstances and how it survived and how it's splintered and how it's changed. And there's something deep in me that wants to affirm all of it and say, you know what? Yeah, we got off track. Yeah, we got a little crazy there. We made some mistakes or whatever. But who am I to judge? I would rather jump in a river, float down, see where it's headed, instead of standing on the land, looking at it and going, well, it looks like it might do this or might go there. I'd also like to go in it and get up to its source, where it came from, see this stuff and explore it. So if you're out there and you're thinking, you know, this sounds pretty good. Is there really a church that would practice all of these things that, you know, I could get my medicine of my immortality and hear a good sermon and also have some prophetic words given to me, all in the context of a lot of scripture through the liturgy? Yes, there are churches that are like this, and they are part of this convergence communion. And so I encourage you to, you know, Google CCC or CECC or CEEC or any of these things and take a look at them. There's a lot of churches that are part of this communion that I think a lot of people, especially postmoderns, would feel very at home and comfortable in. This is Isaac of Nineveh, and this has been Hot Wind from the Desert.